Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
So, got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
All right, quick reminder, Twins back in action this evening. Pregame at 8:30, 9:10 first pitch. They're in Seattle this weekend. But right now, let's head to the home of the best horse racing in Minnesota. Let's head out to Canterbury Park and check in with Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park. He joins us courtesy of the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. And Madej, you guys have kicked off another live racing season last weekend. For all the people out there listening, how did it go in the opening weekend last weekend?
Well, Henry, always great to talk to you. And you're right. Our 31st season as Canterbury Park kicked off last Saturday. We ran Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Really blessed by the weather. I mean, it was rainy and cold early in the week, and by the time racing came around, it was 70s and sunny. I think we had 6,000 people opening night, 11,000 on Sunday, and another 5 on Monday. So it was a real successful opening weekend, and had a chance to work out some of the kinks. You know, lots of new employees, and that's, I think, anyone that runs a seasonal business. I mean, Canterbury is open 24/7 year round, but the racing crowd's a little bit different, right? Racing employees. So we had a chance to, you know, break in the new employees. That's always fun, and see a lot of people, you know, trainers, jockeys, horse owners that I hadn't seen probably since last September, and a lot of racing fans too. So it's fun. We had a great time, and you know, we've got a 51-day season, so 48 more to go yet.
Of the 31 years that Canterbury has been doing their thing, how many years have you been there?
This is my 31st year. So
You've been there from the start? That's unbelievable. You're the Jeff Munichy of Canterbury Park, like Mune is with the Timberwolves.
The track opened in 85 and closed in 92. I worked on the backside in those days, in the Downs days, and then kind of everyone disbanded, and when the Samsons bought the track in 94, we all came back. We had simulcasting that year. We opened on Oaks Day, Oaks and Derby weekend, and then brought live racing back the next year. So I've been there since 1994, and it's fun, Henry. It's, you know, I can't imagine anyone going to work and not having a good time. I know people do it, but I don't, and I don't think I would. So it's just,
I do it all the time.
Yeah, I think you love your job.
You're making life easier for me tonight.
It's fortunate to work in an occupation or work at a company that you enjoy. And if you enjoy the customers like I do, you know, the race fans, and there's so many good people at the track, and it's just a fun environment. So I've really been fortunate. And unless they kick me out the door, I don't plan on going anywhere.
All right, well, I appreciate you always joining us here from Canterbury Park. Let me get to something that came up in a national article on the Daily Racing Forum, their website. Mary Rampinelli, I think is her name. She did the article, Bigger Fields, Turf Racing in Focus as Canterbury Opens Their Meet. And in the article, she stated that turf racing is going to be a priority this meet. And there were, I guess, 3 grass races on the 8-race opener. I guess maybe talk us through that in terms of turf racing and maybe how you guys kind of are viewing it this summer, because you know me, I love all racing, all forms of racing, but my favorite without question is the turf racing.
Right. So for those not familiar with horse racing, and not all tracks have this, this is one of the advantages that we have, is that we've got the dirt track, which you'd be familiar if you watch the Derby, they're running on dirt on the main track, but also a turf course, a grass course. It's like a lawn, but it's a very well maintained and manicured lawn. And it's not easy to run as many races as we do. This Sunday, we've got four of our seven races are on the turf. So it does take a beating, but the trick about turf racing, or just the turf course, is that the inner rail is portable. So you can set it at zero, right? So that the track is at its widest possible. That's where we were on opening weekend. And then the rail can move in to allow that grass that's kind of been worn out. Just like if you walk in the same path with your dog around your lawn or whatever, you're going to see it start to wear out. That's kind of what the track does with horses. So you can move that rail around and preserve the turf course, let it grow back, race on the part that wasn't used, and then each week move that rail either in or out to accommodate the races. So we've got just a real good turf crew, and that's the asset that we have to use, because down in Prairie Meadows, who's a competitor, they don't have turf racing. Nebraska doesn't have turf racing. So it's an asset. It's an asset that we are fortunate to have, and one that we spend a lot of time and a lot of money keeping in good shape, because it also draws some of the biggest fields and some of the best betting. So it works out for everyone. And horse owners, I think, love to run on the grass too. Just like you like to gamble on it, they like to see their horses race on it. So we've been lucky. And if the weather is nice, like it was here, we had that rain, which
it's going to be great this weekend.
Helped. Yeah. And this weekend's going to be good too. And then it's supposed to rain Tuesday. So, you know, that'll help replenish all the grass, and it'll grow back again. And then, so if Mother Nature cooperates, we can really use that turf course, and it's good for our business.
We're talking to Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park here on the Lake Show News Talk, 830 WCCO. The second weekend of Canterbury Park having live racing this weekend. They started their meet last weekend. The meet's going to go all the way up through, is it September the 20th?
September 20th. So we'll run primarily, I will start Wednesdays on June 11th. We'll run primarily Wednesday, Saturday evenings, and Sunday afternoons. And once we get to July, we'll mix in, I think there's six Thursdays total. We'll go like every other Thursday or something like that. CanterburyPark.com, of course, has the calendar. But essentially a three-day-a-week calendar. And that's becoming more and more common in the world of horse racing. As you know, Santa Anita, you know, Hollywood, when they were running, when Hollywood was open and Santa Anita was running, they used to run 5 days a week. Now they're down to three, and when Del Mar starts, four. So it's just there's a lack of racehorses nationwide. So I think racetracks are changing the way they do business, and we are too. We used to run Thursday, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday afternoon for 25 years probably. And then when COVID came along, we kind of changed our schedule, and we haven't gone back since. But that's really a reflection of the population of the horses. We've got about 900 horses right now stabled at Canterbury. That's enough to run a really good three-day meet. So we're lucky there. And there, you know, some more may show up too as we progress into the summer.
Well, Jeff, you know, when you talk about training titles at Canterbury Park, Mac Robertson's been the guy. He's well-known here, and not just here, but throughout the country. But talk about some of the new trainers that'll be on board and trying to steal a training title from Mac this year.
Yeah, we've got some new faces, and it's hard to get trainers to change their pattern, right? Because they'll generally go from one place to the next place and not change. And so it comes down to where they think they can compete and where their horses will fit. And again, like with Canterbury, having a turf course. So there's a trainer named Jan Arnett who will run horses in Iowa, but is going to run more horses at Canterbury. He's always kind of shipped some horses in here and there, but he winters in Tampa, which is a very good, really difficult race meet. You know, a lot of horses from Miami ship up and run there. So it's not, you know, it's very competitive. So he's got some really nice turf horses that he's going to run. There's another guy named Rafael Barajas from Phoenix. He's trying this track for the first time. He went to Emerald in Seattle last year and now is at Canterbury. I think he's got 30 horses, so he'll be able to make quite a few starts. So there's a couple other smaller ones. No real major stables like Mac had. You know, Mac Robertson will have 45 to 60 horses at Canterbury, which is a real healthy stable. He's got a little bit of everything, so he can really run his racehorses. But I think new trainers will find that they like it here. And if the opening weekend is any reflection, we had 22 riders at Canterbury, which is a lot. That's a lot of jockeys. 13 of them won. I think we had 19 trainers win. So that money's getting spread around, and that's good. That makes for a healthy race meet as well.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. What does the listening audience you know, maybe a casual horse racing fan or patron or somebody that, you know, they'll go out to Canterbury maybe one time a summer, maybe look to possibly get out there a little bit more this summer. What do they need to know about the state of horse racing in Minnesota so that we can continue to have it be thriving. Because I think at times, whatever it is, we tend to take advantage of things that we have in the moment, and we don't always do our best at supporting it, whether it's the Minnesota Twins, we have a phenomenal Target Field, whether it's the T-Wolves and Target Center, it could be Canterbury Park, and we just don't get out there enough to kind of support the live racing cards. What do you think the average Minnesotan should know about trying to make that trek out to Canterbury to be supportive?
Well, I think one, I would say this first, just check our calendar and see what's going on, because in addition to the horse racing, we've got a lot of other different events. There's food events, there's drink events, we have a beer festival, we have, of course, the dog racing, bulldogs and corgis. So find a day that might fit your family or whoever you're bringing. You know, if it's a date night, it's a Saturday or a Wednesday, that's always great if you're bringing the family. Sunday is a good one, but that certainly is a way to support us. But I think, you know, just nationwide, you know, horse racing, generally, there's a lot of states have support from their state legislature, and that's something we haven't been able to get done. And if you've been following the sports betting situation, it really did not get off the ground this year. But last year was close, and we were not going to have sports betting. The two racetracks weren't. The tribes would have exclusivity, but the racing industry was going to benefit from some of the tax dollars, and that would go directly to purses that were generated from sports betting. That would have been a great boon to horse racing. So that, you know, that's, I would say if you really want to support horse racing, call your legislator and ask them to get more involved, because it was really disappointing this year. You know, last year both parties had asked all the constituents, right, the people involved here, the tribes, the tracks, the teams, and the charities to kind of solve the problem, come up with a bill that we could pass. Well, we did that. We were told we ran out of time, that they just didn't have enough time. Brought the bill back this year, and it never got out of a committee, which is just perplexing to me, because we had a bill that everyone could agree on, and it didn't, and nothing happened. So that's a puzzler to me. It was a little bit disappointing, but I think we'll find some ways like that to help horse racing purses, because when the purses grow, that's what the owners compete for. That's what pays the bills, and that's also what encourages people to breed and race in Minnesota. And when they do, these horses eat every day. They have veterinary care. They have farriers. There's, you know, hundreds of people that work with the horses. It's good for the Minnesota economy. Good for agribusiness. So there's ways that racing can be supported. You know, and Henry, looking around the landscape here, like I don't know if you're looking at Chicago, but they're running 2 days a week now, and they can barely fill seven races a day. I mean, with a little bit of assistance here, I think Minnesota is really poised to be the number one racetrack in Middle America during the summer. And I say that sincerely, because of that turf course, because of our backstretch. We put $15 million into improving the infrastructure, the part that the fans don't see. That's where the horses live, where the grooms live. So we've made a serious investment in racing. We just need to get a bit of assistance. And I think we would see breeding really rebound and racing in Minnesota just absolutely thrive.
The other thing, though, that I do want to mention, Jeff, and you could just give your take on this, because I'm going to give my opinion on this, is I just think that if people have not visited Canterbury Park in a while, they're going to be blown away at everything that's around Canterbury Park right there. Like it's not like the old school Canterbury Park from 15, 20 years ago. You go out there and you will see the Kraft Mexican Kitchen Brabus right there. You'll see the Badger Hill Brewing right there. Like, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. If people want to go and just kind of make a day of it to hang out there or get a hotel room or whatever, like, it's really, it could be a major experience.
You're right. If you haven't been to Shakopee, if you haven't been to the racetrack in the last 10 years, you might not even recognize it, because you're right. Racing's still the central attraction, but around us, you know, we've got all the residential, the apartments. But you mentioned Bravi's, the Mexican place, Badger Hill, Mr. Pig's Smokery, a really good barbecue place open. There's a place, a restaurant in it called Boardwalk, which is going to open in June. Henry, it sits right on the 6 furlong chute. So it's right on the racetrack. It's pretty cool. We're in discussions with a hotel that will overlook to building a hotel overlooking the racetrack as well. The amphitheater, which is going to open next year, Ned Abdul's project, the guy that brought us the Armory and the Uptown remodeled Uptown Theater, that's going to open in 2026 with a full concert schedule as well. So if you're coming to the concert, maybe you hit the races first, or you hit Bravi's first, or you hit the Boardwalk first, head over to the concert or go afterwards. So it's really, you know, and that's been our vision with what we called Canterbury Commons in 2018 when we first started building it, is that it was going to be an entertainment destination. And we're not there yet, but we certainly are getting there. And we've got a lot of acreage left to develop, right kind of on our prime entryway. So I think you're going to see a lot of really cool things to come. But it's really a place where you're right. You can. It doesn't just have to be the racetrack. You can go out to dinner first, come over to the races, stop in the casino, and go back out for a drink. And this boardwalk restaurant that I mentioned, they're going to have a music venue that it's going to hold upwards of 1,000 people. So they're going to bring in some pretty big acts and put on, you know, it's really going to make Shakopee the place to be, I think, south of the river.
All right, I do want to ask you about this because somebody on the text line is just all up in my mix about this. But the extreme racing, what about extreme racing? Extreme racing, is that going to continue to take off at Canterbury Park? It sounds like some people are friends of Vicky and Mike McGowan.
Yeah, Vicky and Mike McGowan have some really nice racehorses. Cupid's Crush is probably, she ran really well last year at Canterbury, went down to Keeneland and was competitive there. They have some nice racehorses. They're great people. They support racing. They support the people on the backside, the people that you don't really see, the grooms and the hot walkers. And they're you know, and I'll say this, Mike McGowan is a piper, a Hamlin piper like I am. So
you got to throw that in the mix. That's got to be factored in, man. That's a good thing.
Well, I worked for, you know, I worked at Canterbury, as you said, 31 years. The first piper that we hired was Brian Aragone. And I thought, well, let's raise the bar a little higher. And now we have Mike McGowan, who's, we're fellow pipers. But they really have done a lot for racing. They invest a lot of money. They use Mac Robertson as a trainer, so they win a lot of races. But just really, really good people. And there's so many owners like that that are just, they love racing. They love the horses. They love the people involved in the industry. And it's what makes it fun. And they're the type of folks you could just walk up and say hello to. And they will have a conversation with you, which is kind of cool. I mean, it's hard to do that at other sporting events where you can actually talk to the participants.
How do you pronounce this spot? Is it Bravi?
Bravi's, yes.
Bravi's. Bravi. So the next time, we'll have to plan a time to go out there and you can show me Bravi's or whatever, because the food looks amazing. But we'll just go in there and we'll put it on the Kevin Gore tab because, you know, his bankroll is pretty large. So we'll just eat some tacos off of his tab.
There, you got the brewery connected right to it. You've got the smokery with a great patio, and then you walk over to Boardwalk and watch some races. We can make a night of it, Henry.
Is there a specific name to that, like, project or that area?
Well, Canterbury Commons is what we called it when we first started building it, and we still use that name.
Okay.
But, you know, each entity has their own identity, and I think we're, you know, as I said, we're looking at a hotel. We're looking at another entertainment complex of our own, and then who knows what's going to happen out on that piece of land right on 83, right as you come off of 169. We've got that whole piece of property that is kind of the gateway to Canterbury Commons yet to be developed.
I'll say this right now. I think that's the best idea going, is to have a nice hotel out there. And I mean that in all seriousness. Yeah, I'm a sucker for a nice kind of swanky hotel. We've got plenty of those in downtown Minneapolis. You know, I mean, you've got the one that's across the street from Target Center. You've got the Canopy. You've got a Four Seasons in downtown Minneapolis. We got the Hewing. We got a million different hotels in downtown Minneapolis. All of the chains, all the Marriotts, all the Hyatts, all the Hiltons, all that stuff, whatever. But I do think that Shakopee, you know, there's a few hotels out there, but they've been kind of lacking that department. So that'd be really dope and cool if you guys get that done.
That's the plan, Henry. I've seen some drawings, and, you know, it's still in this discussion phase, but like, it's six stories. But it might be the tallest building in Shakopee, but the upper two floors are going to have, I guess, what they're calling villas. So it's a little bit different than just a hotel room. It looks like, a high-end apartment to me. So I think these are going to be pretty cool hotel rooms and hotel opportunities. So I'm looking forward to that. If we can get that off the ground here soon, it'd be great to see it open in the next year.
Yeah. Hey, Jeff, you're the best, man. I appreciate the time.
All right. Well, let's make plans to hit everything that is Canterbury Commons.
All right. It sounds good, man. That's Jeff Madej from Canterbury Park joining us here on The Good Neighbor. We will break. We will come back, and we will get to Bite of the Night. That's next. And let's do that. It's time for Bite of the Night here on The Lake Show. And the Bite of the Night this evening involves Stephen A. Smith, noted and well-known. He's a fan of the Minnesota Timberwolves, of the New York Knicks. Okay, the New York Knicks. And I love when people on television and in radio, when they are authentic about the teams that they love. I appreciate that, because I don't like when people try to act fake about whether they like a team or whatever. There's like everybody's human. We all have feelings.
I was thinking the same thing.
We all grew up in whatever area, so you're going to have teams that you love, right? Now it's a different thing in terms of like openly rooting in a press setting or like that. There's dynamics to this, but I do like the fact that people are authentic, or like Stephen A. Smith is authentic about his love for the New York Knicks. But this is what he had to say on First Take with regards to the Knicks and them having a shot to win an NBA title.
But the reason why I haven't been so gung-ho about it over the last few days, it's not just because of the New York Knicks struggles. It's because I give them zero chance, zero, of beating the Oklahoma City Thunder if they were to advance to the finals. See, weeks ago, I'm like, you know, days ago, I'm like, hey, we got a chance. We got a chance. We got a chance. And then I watched OKC having to cover the conference finals. And I see those bodies that they throw, and I see the New York Knicks style of play and the lack of personnel, and you just see it in the way Oklahoma City defends. And that has taken some of the luster off my championship aspirations for the New York Knicks. Getting there, I'm all for it. But I would have to cover an NBA Finals where I'm a New York Knicks fan, and I literally believe from the bottom of my heart that nothing short of divine intervention would propel them. There is nothing else. That there is no basketball element, ingredient, snippet, whatever. Nothing basketball-wise that makes me believe.
I love this from Stephen A. Smith. And I disagree with Stephen A. Smith on a lot of different things. I'm sure he probably disagrees with me on a bunch of different things too. But the bottom line is, I like this. I like that he's being fully transparent. It's not a shocker that he loves the Knicks. Just the same way that 5 years from now, if the Wolves are able to get to the mountaintop or get to the finals, shocker, Henry Lake loves the Timberwolves. Of course I do. I like the transparency, but I also love the fact that he's not being a homer. He essentially just stated right there, look, I love the Knicks, but they got no shot. They're not beating the Oklahoma City Thunder. They got no chance. And I love that because he could try to sell false hope or something that he doesn't believe. He's not doing that. He is keeping it real. He's keeping it authentic, and he's being genuine with his take.
You can't be in this business and not have been a fan or be a fan of a team. It's not possible. There's always going to be fandom involved. And, you know, like I was telling you, I was thinking about this, and it's like, it's okay for people. I think we're starting to get more transparency about these are the teams that I root for. These are the teams. The key is, how can you limit your fandom and also be objective and have credibility with your job? And there are some that, you know, feel like in the media, if you talk about sports, you have to be a homer. You have to be 100%. Everything's good. Everything's rosy. Nothing's ever wrong. Well, no, because I think credibility and objectivity is such a big part of the job if you want to have, you know, any sort of respect, unless that's the bit, unless, you know, that's kind of what you're going for. But this is absolutely great because you can admit, I'm a fan, but they have no shot. Both things can be true at the same time. It doesn't have to be an either or. And I love it. I want more people to say, hey, I'm a fan of this team. I root for this team, but I also understand that this team is also limited and they only have a ceiling that they can reach.
Yeah, I like that he did this. I like that he kept it real. I like that he was open and honest about where he's at with the New York Knicks. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the local weather. And then Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, he finally gets his new deal. And he deserves it. We get to that next. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. We have been wondering what the holdup was. But he has agreed to a contract extension. He got a multi-year contract extension today to continue to lead the Minnesota Vikings football operations. And he has earned this. I think that the GM of the Minnesota Vikings has earned another contract. And it was just, to me at least, a matter of time before they figured out, like, how this is going to come together. Because you cannot make the case, in my opinion, that he was not worthy of getting another deal or a new contract. Now, we can sit here and we can talk about his draft. History has been shaky, but he's hit on a couple of picks. He's done well in free agency, and that's really been the saving grace for him. And I just think that, like, with JJ, and I'm not talking about the wide receiver, I'm talking about the quarterback.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Honeymoon, here we come. Where's our car?
It's been stolen.
We'll call our insurance agent. I'm right here.
Oh, hey, Jen. You got our invite.
Love the dress.
Are we covered for this?
Of course. That's why you chose Auto Owners. We work together to get the right coverage. So when the unexpected happens, you know you're covered.
That's simple human sense.
Now, how do we get to the airport?
Take mine.
Thanks, Jen.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners make sense for you.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed.
Mm.
Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
That's who he selected. That's who he and Kevin O'Connell said, this is our guy. There's no way that you're going into J.J. McCarthy era and you're not going to re-sign Kwesi Adofo-Mensah. This team has had two spectacular seasons since he's been the general manager. And I think that actually they'll be better this year than people expect, because I think that a lot of people expect them to have some massive regression based off of Sam Darnold going to Seattle. I think they'll be fine. If J.J. has got the type of talent that everybody has been discussing and talking about, if he's half as good as what everybody says that he is, then you know what? He can be in year one, possibly the guy that can be not the explosive quarterback that you hope he eventually ends up being, but being a guy that's learning and being kind of a Brock Purdy type, hopefully, in year one. But there's no way you can make a case to say that Kwesi didn't deserve a contract. He absolutely deserved a contract, and I'm glad he got a multi-year contract extension.
The first draft was terrible. We know that. Like,
awful.
You can take that, you can crumple it up, and you can throw it away. I think if you look at everything, because it's really hard, I think, to hit on your very first draft when you're the guy. Because Kwesi was new, KOC was new, like, this was a new regime. These two guys are tied at the hip. The drafts since then have been better. Everybody's going to have misses. Everybody's going to have misses. We understand that. I think it's free agency and the trade for TJ Hockenson back in 2022. I think he has, especially last year, free agent wise. Now, maybe some of that was Brian Flores. You know, the Sam Darnold was somebody that Kevin O'Connell had earmarked as being the guy? I mean, a year ago, we were talking about, oh, my God, Kwesi, what are you doing? Sam Darnold, are you nuts?
Oh, I wasn't saying that at
this
all.
This guy's trash.
I was the total opposite. I was happy to see him.
Yeah, but I'm saying the general consensus was and I'm not saying from you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying people look at you like, oh, my God,
most
Sam.
Most people didn't believe. Yeah.
Right, exactly. But there's something about, I feel like the communication between Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is a big part of why the synergy and why this team has gotten to the point where everything for both of these guys, I feel Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi, everything is going to hinge on J.J. McCarthy. If J.J. McCarthy ends up falling short of expectations, they're both going to be under the microscope. Well, Kevin O'Connell, I thought he was a quarterback whisperer. What do you mean? This was your hand-picked guy. Kwesi, same thing. You can miss on a lot of picks, but if you miss on a quarterback in the first round, there's a different energy and there's a different perception about how you can do your job. But it absolutely, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, he earned this. The consistency and the stability with those two, I think, is a big reason why the Vikings have maybe overachieved two out of the last 3 years.
All right, I'm going to go back 5 years with regards to the drafts and talk about who I believe has ended up being a good draft pick, okay? And this is before Kwesi. Kwesi hasn't been here 5 years. We're going to look at the final 2 years of when Rick Spielman was here. So let's go back to 2020.
Okay.
Justin Jefferson, clearly unbelievable.
Well, good thing Jalen Reagor was off the board.
The Jeff Gladney pick didn't work out, clearly. That was a first-round pick, too. He was ushered up out of here because of a domestic issue or whatever.
Yep.
They did the right thing there in getting him out of here, and rest in peace to him because he tragically died after that in an automobile accident. Then the Ezra Cleveland pick was not a great pick.
It was okay. Yep. Okay. They were lucky to ship him off to Jacksonville.
Cameron Dantzler didn't work out.
Nope.
I think that in 2020, the good picks were Justin Jefferson, clearly.
Yep.
KJ Osborne, I thought, was a good pick.
Yeah.
And I think the other pick there is Josh Metellus. That's another one.
Yes.
He's still with the organization.
I think Josh Metellus is vastly underrated for what he does for that defense.
2021, Christian Darrisaw, they hit a home run there. Outside of Christian Darrisaw, I'll give them some credit for, and this was the last year for Spielman. Patrick Jones the second, Cam Bynum, and that was it. Those are the only, like, there were too many misses there. Kellen Mond, but Bynum, Jones, and Darrisaw, I give them that. Now let's get to Kwesi.
Okay.
First year, we all know, disaster. Lewis Seen, Andrew Booth, and Ingram at the top, whatever. The only people that I look at and they have gotten a little bit of run is Ty Chandler and Jalen Naylor. That's it. Year number two, he did better, but just slightly. He didn't do terrible. Jordan Addison, I could have walked in and put Jordan Addison's name on the board at 23. That's a no-brainer. So I'm not going to give him a whole lot of credit there. Mekhi Blackmon, I'm gonna go incomplete there because Blackmon got injured.
Yeah, tore the ACL.
And so we'll see if he's able to bounce back from that to kind of, you know, evaluate his career. But nobody else. Like the Jaren Hall. I remember everybody, Jaren Hall against Atlanta. I was like, y'all didn't watch Jaren Hall at BYU. Like, this ain't it. Then last year it was J.J. McCarthy. Dallas Turner, I like that pick.
I like it a lot.
Rest in peace to Kyrie Jackson. He was in an automobile accident and died. The rest of that draft, I didn't think was that great, except for Will Reichert. It's amazing. He's got a leg.
Will the Thrill.
So, yeah. And we'll see how things shake out with the 2025 draft. But yeah, based on drafting, hadn't been great. Based on free agency, he's done a good job.
Yeah, he has. And yeah, to go to the Jordan Addison pick, I know that it looks like it's a slam dunk, but I'm going to go back to when Justin Jefferson was picked. The Philadelphia Eagles, who are as good as any team in the NFL, they don't miss much. They missed on Justin Jefferson with Jalen Reagor. So I don't think a first-round wide receiver is all, I don't think it's as easy as maybe it appears, because we tried that with Mr. Didn't Watch Film Laquon Treadwell, and that didn't work out. I think the wide receivers, when you hit on one in the first round, like, the upside is immense when you hit on a good one. And we're fortunate to have two good ones right there. I do think that Jalen Naylor is a really nice complimentary piece.
Yeah, they got him late.
Really nice complimentary piece late. Yeah, Patrick Jones, nice rotational defensive lineman. Incomplete on the J.J. McCarthy, because if J.J. McCarthy turns out to be what you think he is, this team might be onto something, but I'm not going to get my hopes up because that never works out.
We'll see how it
changes. I'm happy with it. Like, I'm cautiously optimistic that I feel like they're going to be able to compete in the North and maybe in the NFC. Who knows? You know, knock on wood, stay healthy.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to headlines. That's next here on The Lake Show. And we dive into headlines right now. Let's see what Christopher Tubbs has up his sleeve.
All right, let's get to it.
Break it down.
Let's get to it. In hopes of avoiding fans feeling like all they can do is read a book to stay awake, the Minnesota Yacht Club Festival has added another band to the lineup. This week, the festival announced the addition of Blind Melon to the bill on Sunday, July 20th. Group will perform on the fest final day, which also features Green Day, Sublime, 311, Garbage, Beach Bunny, The Beaches, Grace Bowers, and the Hodgepodge, Winona Fighter, and Landon Conrad. Festival was expected to add another band after Semisonic announced last week it would cancel their summer tour dates as bassist John Munson continues to recover from a stroke that occurred earlier this year. Last week, Blind Melon was announced as the series opener for the Riverside Music Series in Rochester. The group will also headline a free outdoor concert there on July 13th.
Yeah, that was a big, this Minnesota Yacht Festival was a big deal.
This is legit. This is legit.
People were all over it last year. Amazing.
Yeah, I bet they're hoping for no rain that night.
Did it rain last year?
I don't know, but it's no rain. Blind Melon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners. We work with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
That's a banger.
Great song. You know what? We'll just roll that underneath. Hey, Americans didn't feel any sense of optimism about the U.S. economy this month, despite tensions easing. Okay, I got to do that because it's got lyrics in it. Now,
we tried.
We tried. It doesn't work when you're doing something and it's got lyrics underneath it. So in their latest survey released earlier today, the University of Michigan noted that consumer sentiment held steady in May compared to the prior month at a final reading of 52.2. Sentiment was slightly worse about the economy earlier this month, according to a preliminary reading, which, quote, turned a corner in the latter half of the month following the temporary pause on some tariffs on China goods, according to a release. May's reading matched April's for the fourth lowest reading in consumer sentiment on records going back to 1952, lower than anything seen during the Great Recession. Now, economists say the chaotic rollout of Trump's tariffs has unsettled Americans in recent months, but it doesn't necessarily mean spending is bound to weaken. Still, the resilience of the U.S. economy, including the labor market, has come into question as Wall Street, the Federal Reserve, and everyday consumers continue to have a bleak outlook. In a release, the survey's director, Joanne Tsu, said consumers see the outlook for the economy as no worse than last month, but they remain quite worried about the future.
I don't think that there's anybody out there that's going to be overly optimistic about the economy when you're hearing that the plan is to put more taxes on the people that are struggling and to give tax breaks to the wealthy. Like, I think that a lot of people are going to be upset and should be upset about that.
Yeah.
And prices for things haven't gone down. Wars have not ended in one day. Like, a lot of the things that you were told that you bought into were lies. And now we're facing the ramifications of that.
Hey, speaking of prices, Best Buy CEO Corey Barry said yesterday that the company's already raised prices on some of their products to offset Donald Trump's tariffs. Despite a federal court striking down the president's authority to impose the tariffs this week, Best Buy said it's planning on if tariffs will remain at the current rates. She told reporters, quote, I don't think there's anything we would do differently based on the news overnight. What I've actually tried to work with the team on is to not overreact to any given moment. My God, good luck with that. The Richfield-based electronics retailer said it's also been negotiating with suppliers to cut costs and reduce their reliance on Chinese goods. Barry said the tariffs are just one factor weighing on consumer confidence. Quote, the consumer is remaining resilient, but we've been very clear to say they're making trade-offs in their spending and their budget decisions based on higher prices across many areas of their lives.
Yeah, I don't know how you feel about all of this, but I used to be like the biggest. And when I say the biggest, I used to be the biggest Best Buy fan in the world. I can't tell you the last time I've been in a Best Buy store, dude. And it's not because I'm anti-Best Buy or anything like that, whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you the last time.
Well, it's electronics are something that you can get on just at several different places, whether it's your other retailer, a Walmart, a Target, a Sam's, or you can get it online. Or you can.
And we become less of a going into a store type of society, too.
Absolutely, we have. One thing I used to love about Best Buy is just going in and browsing the CDs and the DVDs and just going to the video game section and just hanging out. Like, you could hang
back
out.
Back in the day.
You could hang out at Best Buy. And I got to be honest, for them to say, we're not going to overreact, I think it's the smart thing to do, to just anticipate that these tariffs are always going to be a part of it. Because tacos, you know, it's a taco every day. So we don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. For her to say, hey, we're just going to stick with it and we're not going to try and make a decision every day based on which way the wind blows.
Yeah.
I think that's smart.
I'm with you. All right, that's going to wrap up headlines. Coming up next, because we're 30 minutes away from Twins baseball, threatening athletes is never, ever okay.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
So, I got one for you, boss.
Oh, yeah?
What's black, white, and dented all over?
I give up.
The company truck. I know, but thanks to our agent, we've already submitted an insurance claim and can track the status right from the app. Auto Owners pays what they owe without any hassle.
Lucky for you, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.